Offices in Houston, The Woodlands, St. Louis, and by appointment only in League City.
ESPN 97.5.
Good name. Totally fits.
A Gao Media Station.
KFC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, right off the top, congrats to Damon, who is the latest to win two tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party. Way to go, Damon. Way to follow directions, listen, be the proper number, caller, and win. So we'll see you on August 15th. And if you haven't won yet, believe me, you'll still have chances to win. And we have been told, because you guys that are suspects really want to go, that we'll have more opportunities for you. So hang in there.
Chris is mad on the text line because we were talking fantasy already. I mean, it's about that time, bro. It's August. Time to start ramping up.
Here's the thing. When there was a football game on TV last night,
yeah,
that means it's getting to be about time.
It's time to start considering fantasy stuff.
At least scouting guys that you might be interested in and looking at things like that. Because, you know, during the year, we'll have our boy Sigmund Bloom on.
So let's break down third string punters for fantasy, just for Chris. If you had to pick two punters, just kidding, Chris. How do I get a usual suspect? How do I get in a usual suspect's fantasy league? That's from Rich. Well, Rich, first of all, we would have to do another one.
Right.
And we love Tyler. He's been a loyal suspect, but it was very presumptuous of him that there was going to be a fantasy league this year.
Indeed.
It's a lot of work on our part, too. If there was a sponsor or if Nick would do anything and run it and not be so damn late. That was me.
AJ, were you like regurgitating as you were talking?
No, that was like an inside burp. Oh. Sometimes I'll tell my wife that it's like an inside fart. Like you'll hear the noise.
Swallowed a gator. It was like.
You'll hear the noise, but it doesn't come out like that. Yeah, that was an inside burp. I don't know. That was weird. That was
interesting.
Yeah, but if Nick wasn't so lazy and would offer to run the fantasy leagues, then it might matter. But he won't, so I don't know that there's going
to
be.
Well, then just blame Nick. Oh, you just did.
I just did.
Yeah, so I'm saying, so the people can jump on board. If they want someone to blame, now you've given them a proper target.
Right. If there's not a fantasy league, that's all Nick's fault. So.
All Nick's fault.
Yep.
And it's because he's angry because fantasy baseball went so bad.
That could be it, too.
Right.
Hey, guys, I'm asking because I don't want to walk in looking like I'm from Beaumont while everyone else is dressed up. But what is the dress attire for the listener appreciation party? I have no idea.
I know I overdressed last year.
Yeah, you did. Whatever I wear on that day is what I'm wearing to the party. Now, I might just wear a polo shirt and some jeans. And I would say that that's probably about what you should aim for. If you wore a button-up, you know, shirt and jeans, you're not going to be overdressed. But if you wore a polo and jeans, you're not going to be underdressed. If you wore a t-shirt, no one's probably going to bat an eye. If you show up in shorts and flip-flops and a tank top, you're going to look weird.
I mean,
you know, if you're...
I gauged it by, like, Lance didn't give a rat's ass last year.
Yeah, he was in mesh shorts and...
Yeah. Granato had a t-shirt and jeans. I had changed. I had a suit, and then I was like, oh, no. So then I just wore a golf shirt and jeans.
Yeah, I think I just had on a button-up shirt, something like that. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. You don't have to. It ain't. Don't rent a tux or anything like that.
It's more about the people and the evening itself than it is what you're wearing. You'll be fine.
Somebody said, "Hey, Texter, you better put some respect on Beaumont's name."
Yeah, that was kind of a shot. Just saying.
Yeah,
that wasn't very nice.
Hey, Barry. Earlier this week, you were talking about your cat. I hope he's doing okay. You mentioned the vet that y'all use near the Harmony Village area. Where what's that vet's name? That is the Rayford Animal Wellness Clinic. They're right there, Rayford and Richards Road, and I cannot recommend them enough. They have gone out of their way to help us with this dying cat, and they did it both times. And I just, honest to God, they're not paying me for an endorsement. I paid a bill, $300 yesterday, to take our cat in.
Wow.
But I could not be happier with the way that they treat our animals and us, and they're courteous and kind. And Rayford Animal Wellness Clinic, 1,000% I'd recommend them every time. Tell Todd if you go out there, I'll say hello.
There you go. I'll throw this at you. This is a little bit surprising to me. The Los Angeles Angels today designated Jonathan Lucroy for assignment because of the addition of Max Stassi. A little bit surprising, right? I thought it might be a rehab assignment. They said no. He's Lucroy's only hitting 242 with 7 homers and 30 RBIs. He was reinstated from the injury list on Wednesday after being injured in the collision with Jake Marisnyk. Stassi coming in from the Astros is going to get a look. So Lucroy is out.
That's interesting.
Surprising.
When you look at statistically as a hitter, Stassi versus Lucroy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's not even close.
No. I mean, Lucroy's having a bad year at 242, and that's better than Stassi.
Yeah. I'm with you. That doesn't make any sense. And by the way, somebody texted and said, I'll be there, and I'm from Beaumont, so watch your mouth, sir.
Well, now we're going to get listener crime again.
Well, I didn't know if they were talking to me.
No, they're not talking to you. They're talking to the guy that said, I don't want to show up looking like I'm from Beaumont.
Well, maybe he was from Beaumont. I didn't even see the area code. Let me see. I'll find the text.
You're just
see.
Fire starting again.
Uh-uh.
I think so.
No, I don't think so. Oh, no, it was a 281 area code. Well,
see?
That wasn't nice,
that
sir.
That was a shot. See?
Yeah, it was a shot at Beaumont. Be nice, listeners.
Other baseball news. The Cubs are putting Ben Zobrist, if you missed it, he and his wife are getting a divorce, and it's been like shattering his world.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been on leave. They're going to put him on a month-long rehab assignment to see if they can get him right playing again before the playoffs.
Okay.
So I guess there's a guy where if it works out, hey, it's like adding a guy at the second deadline that isn't in existence anymore. If it doesn't work out, well, we gave it a shot.
Speaking of the deadline, speaking of, you know, we talked and we gave everybody the heads up earlier in the year, even before the season started, that there was only one trade deadline this year, and that was July 31st, and that has come and gone. Mm-hmm. And there was like, okay, well, that's it. You can't add any more players necessarily. Well, there was an article that came out that, you really can because there are teams that are still making some moves. In fact, there was a trade that occurred, but the trade that occurred involved a minor league player that's not on a major league roster. So you can still make some of those moves. So here's the various ways that teams will be able to add players post the single trade deadline. Waiver claims. So if the Astros, you know, were to release Max Stassi outright and we're done, just similar to what they did with Kemp, right? An example, someone could claim him off of waivers and add him to the team. So you can claim a player off waivers. You can sign someone that's been outrighted or released. So one of the answers that they have, or one of the examples is Asdrubal Cabrera. If he gets released or outrighted.
So Lucroy, if he's released, could join a team and he'd be eligible for the playoffs.
That's correct. Okay. If he's outright released and he clears, you could either claim him on waivers or you could sign him. Dealing for veterans on minor league deals. So if you have a vet that's on a strictly minor league deal right now, that's say in a AAA team, then you can make a deal for them and then add them to your roster. So you could go out and make a minor league for minor league swap and then add that veteran to your roster. Dealing for prospects, so that's still on board. That's still an option. And then you could call up those prospects, obviously, in September if you wanted to. Acquiring players from abroad, that's something that people sleep on.
Yeah.
But you could actually go to Japan and other places and get some of these guys and add them to your roster late. And then there's also the independent circuit where, like, the Sugar Land Skeeters might have somebody on their roster that you'd want to add, and you could do so that way. So there are still ways and means to add players.
And I don't sleep on that either because of the fact that they brag on this, and it's not to be overlooked. The Skeeters had more players with major league experience on their roster than almost anybody in minor league baseball, except for like the AAA, the independent league baseball, at the start of the year. Half of them have already joined different organizations. And we're going to go to the game tonight, and I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
And one of the things I want to do is I want to check out who's on the roster. They started the year with former Dodger James Loney. They started the year with former Astros center fielder Willie Taveras.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah, Felipe Polino.
Oh, yeah,
was on the list. He was on Astros pitcher, about 4, 5, 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
He's in the Astros actually claimed him, put him in AAA to see if he still had anything left.
I do remember that transaction, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see because that's one way where you can find a sleeper, a guy that's had MLB experience that maybe it just wasn't in the cards or worked out right, but if he's playing ball and you got to fill a hole, someone out there.
Yeah, well, when you're trying to fill a hole.
And that's it. All right, with that being said, it's time to get off of baseball.
Fill your hole with some...
Some what?
Independent dudes.
No. When you need to fill your hole with a big bat.
You need a bat? Yeah.
When you need a bat to fill the hole.
I got
that's
you.
Where you go.
Okay.
All right, if you need... Never mind. If you just want to keep doing what you're doing, keep listening to The Usual Suspects. We're in the final hour of the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You don't have to do a thing, because it's all right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, final hour of the show. Barry, Nick, Joel, F yeah Friday, F for funny, as well as other things, Barry.
Yes, F for fantastic interview. What? Oh my gosh, I'm so quick on the feet. F for feet! I want to roll!
You're like butter.
Oh, no, don't.
Or jam.
That. Don't. Please don't run that.
You already ruined it enough.
I got to do the interview. We're not going to run a clip of Ari Spears this third hour as we normally do, but we're going to run a little bit of the interview. I sat down with him and talked. We talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about sports. We talked about comedy. We talked about show business. We talked about a lot of different things, and a lot of that will be on the interview. I doubt all 20 minutes of it will run on the Houston Sports Show. You'll get a subset of it, and then maybe they'll put the whole thing on their YouTube page. But we got a little chunk of that interview. I wanted to kind of give you a teaser of the interview that we did with Ari Spears in the third hour, and make sure you go check him out at the Houston Improv. He's there tonight, two shows, tomorrow two shows, and then one show Sunday. I'll probably stop in for the Sunday show, easy for me to say. So if you're there and you see me, just come up, say hi. But this is a little chunk of the interview that I did with Ari Spears earlier today.
Man. All right. Well, I'm just going to point out, you can't have sex with my wife.
Well, there we go. We're good then.
Okay.
We're good.
You started at 14, 30 yeah. years in the game. How did you know at 14 that this is what you were going to do?
Because I don't think I was ever good at anything else. And, you know, I think I always just had a deep love for comedy. You know, my dad took me to go see, well, first of all, I'm an 80s baby, so I grew up watching Eddie Murphy on SNL, who was God to me. Mm-hmm. But when he took me to go see 48 Hours and Trading Places, that sealed the deal. You know, I just hadn't seen someone with that kind of presence on screen that just commanded your attention and who was so fearless and funny. So
that was it, huh?
That was it, man.
Now, I saw, or I read, because I was doing my due diligence, so I came in prepared. But I saw you started at Uptown mm-hmm. in Harlem.
Yeah.
That's not an easy club to start at. Well, at 14, did you get booed? Would they boo a 14-year-old?
Yeah, absolutely they would.
Oh, man.
New Yorkers don't care about your dreams.
Your age?
Your age and your youth. Black people, period, are hard to perform in front of.
Black New Yorkers is black, like the
man,
ultimate.
Listen, black New Yorkers, Southern blacks, Western blacks, black people, period, are a tough training ground. Every black audience is like Crunk Jim back in the Hagler days and Hearns days when them cats was greasy all the time. So, you know, it was a good way for me to come up. It was an honest way for me to come up. And I wouldn't do it any other way, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this is you being thrown right in the fire. You know what I mean? It's just you right in the mix early.
Get your heart broken early, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's all uphill from there.
Yeah.
So 30 years in the game, is this a young man sport? Because I started at 38. I'm 45 now. Mm-hmm. You have 30 years at least under your belt. Is this a young person's game?
No, I don't think so. I think as long as whatever you're talking about is relevant to the audience or relevant to the human condition. Anybody can do this. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I saw in an interview, I mean, with 30 years in show business, you've been around, seen it all. But I saw in an interview where you talked about yourself and some of the controversy that you've been in. And you talked about, I'm Michael Jordan.
I got Michael Jordan dreams with a Dennis Rodman attitude.
Habits. Talk about that a little bit. Because, I mean, you had the whole Camp Hill thing. And
right.
You talked about, you mentioned that, and it's come up again. And you've had some other run-ins. What does that really mean?
You know, the more mainstream you are, the more sellable you are, the more likable you are, it leads to bigger, better business. And first of all, shout out to Kevin Hart. A lot of people think that I have issues with Kevin Hart or I have a beef with him, and I don't. I just have an opinion. And in today's moist era of living, you're not allowed to have those anymore. But shout out to Kevin Hart. He's a phenomenal success. He's a rock star. And, you know, he's bop. He's Madison Avenue. He's McDonald's. And I think we would all like to be McDonald's. But the truth is, some of us are more like Hennessy or you know, Mad Dog 2020. You know, we straight brown paper bag liquor. Mm-hmm. You know, we ain't kids meals and happy fries and all of that. I think there's aspects of me that when I want to be, I could be Madison Avenue. You know, I got to show them teeth, baby.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times I'm brown paper bag liquor. You know, I'm MOP's Annie Up. You know what I'm saying? Instead of being, song. You know,
yeah,
can't touch this.
You know what I mean?
So exactly. So I think that, you know, either rubs people the wrong way or they have a perception of you based on that. And you got to fight through those obstacles, man.
Some good stuff, man.
That dude was very open to a lot of the stuff that we talked about. And I tried to approach it from the standpoint, I wanted to ask him some real questions because the whole Key and Peele thing was a big deal. If you don't know what that was referencing, back in the day, in an interview, I think in 2016, he talked about the fact that black people hadn't accepted Key and Peele. And then he talked about a guy like Dave Chappelle was more acceptable by the black audience than Key and Peele. Well, fast forward a little bit, and he ended up auditioning for Key and Peele and didn't get the job, and it was an issue. And so, you know, and we talked about, does he regret some of the stuff that he said? And it was interesting, man. He didn't shy away from any of the stuff that I asked that was controversial. We talked a little bit of sports and boxing and...
Well, I was going to say, from a standpoint
he was
of,
an open book.
You're having him on the Houston Sports Show. That's where the interview is going to air. But at the same time, it had to be kind of enlightening and entertaining for you because mm-hmm. it's obviously, you know, your career as well. And kind of just kick it about talking shop with him and get some of that feedback and some of that insight has got to be good.
Yeah, we talked we talked comedy, but I didn't want to do, like, a lot of times, and I've mentioned it on the show before, but a lot of times comics dread doing these kind. And I asked him about that up front. I said, listen, I know you hate doing this. Most comics do it. He goes, I don't mind it. Just be prepared when I get there. He said, what I hate, one, is getting up early. And he said, two, I hate going somewhere and they're not prepared. Like, you go in and sit down and then just like, so what's going on? And they don't have anything to talk about. So, you know, his point was, is if you're going to interview somebody, at least have a little research, have something to ask them about. Sometimes, you know, the tendency is to try to be, you know, funnier than the comic. And that mm-hmm. that is an issue. But he goes, none of that bothers him.
Or does he get sick of doing Barkley and Shaq and some of the mainstream sports impersonations? Because you would think, too, when you're doing a junket, a media junket like that, and you're doing, like, several interviews in a day, pretty much every single one of them are going to ask you to do the same impersonation.
And I didn't. I didn't ask him to do any impersonations. I didn't ask him to. I mean, we obviously played some on the mm-hmm. clips, and that was part of the strategy. But I know that he's more than just that. He's, you know, he's a comedian. He's a sketch. I asked him to choose. If he had to pick, with 198 episodes on Mad TV, he loves writing sketch comedy and he loves doing sketch comedy. But I said, if you had to choose, which would you prefer? Would you rather do sketch comedy for the rest of your life or stand up? And I think the answer that he gives, you'll have to watch the show if it makes it on there, but the answer, I'm sure they'll have the whole thing on the YouTube, but it will surprise you, the answer that he said. So,
that's interesting.
Yeah, we talk shop, but I didn't want to be like, do 50 impressions for me.
Right.
You know, it was more about the business.
It's like Frank Caliendo. When Frank Caliendo makes the rounds, he's not making the rounds in a lot of people's eyes that are doing the interview to figure out how he got started and his background and what he likes to do in his spare time. everybody wants him to do Madden and Jim Rome and all of his impersonations and Gruden, and it's got to get old.
I would imagine, but you know, at the same time, when I've talked to people like that, where they're it is not a gimmick, because trust me, doing an impression, and you know this because you do some impressions, it's not easy. You have to practice it, you have to rehearse it, and it's not easy to be able to do as many as guys like him and Frank Caliendo do, who are two of the better impersonators in the business. But You know, so it's not easy, but I also didn't want to just harp on that because they're both more than that. So.
Well, the other thing is, from their standpoint, they got to realize without those impersonations, they might not be as big as they are, too. So sometimes you got to make sure you know where your bread is buttered and do them when they're asked, just because it's gotten you, it's opened some doors.
I'm sorry, that was the point I was trying to say is, a lot of times when you have not a gimmick, but you have something that helped you get made.
Like your signature or what you're known for.
People sometimes want to move away from that because, yes, it got me here, but I have the chops to stay here. So it's a fine balance. You don't want to be like, hey, Larry the Cable Guy, say Get Her Done 10,000 times. Because he actually is a legitimate comedian and joke writer, but that's the shtick that got him to the big time. So you kind of have to dance with what brung you, so to speak.
Now, are you going to have your regular segment as well as this interview?
I am. We're going to have a Barry on sports. We'll have this interview, and then I'm also going to be at the Astros game tomorrow, so we'll have next week while I'm out of town, we'll have a man on the street with the Astros, so a lot
Very
of stuff
cool.
going
and
on.
And tonight you're going to be busy, too.
Tonight, I'm at the Hunter's Extravaganza at NRG from 5 to 7. If you're out there, come find me. I'm in a black T-shirt with camo Air Force Ones, looking like a Hunter.
A black Forever 21 T-shirt.
No, this is just a
You're looking
Hanes.
Like $100, but you're looking like a Hunter.
Okay, both of you.
I didn't go to. I don't throw those cheesy dad jokes at you, though.
I do, and I don't care. It's the beauty of it.
You know what? I think I would rather have a cheesy dad joke than one of your mean ass dumb jokes.
What, Forever 21?
Yeah.
That's your spot. What?
It's not anymore. There. By the way, where'd you get those shoes?
What shoes? H&M's?
Oh.
Yeah.
Same thing as Forever 21.
Absolutely not. You know why?
Absolutely
it is. Mel's shop there.
Forever 21 had a men's section. I don't know what to tell you.
Do they still?
Forever 21,
that they
Fashion
closed
Nova,
down
H&M.
No one was buying.
H&M, all those places, same thing. Cheap, fashionable clothing.
Most guys still don't have any of the t-shirts.
What, from Forever 21?
Yeah.
I don't have any more.
You still got the ones you bought, though, don't you?
No, I threw them all away. They don't fit.
Was it guilty?
No, it was fat.
Oh, okay. All right, so.
This is Hanes or something. Just, what are you talking about? This is Walmart. This is a plain-ass black V-neck t-shirt.
We don't need you contorting. We'll take your word for
it.
You're over here.
When I did that, my fat came out. I had to get my fat tucked back in.
All right. Well, Barry's going to get resituated, and we're going to continue to roll. We still got 30 minutes to go in the show, so there's still some time if you want to get in. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. We'll put 30 on the clock and take it till 4 right here on ESPN 97.5. Behind your collarboard is done in
vain. Truth is hard to swallow. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're rolling through the final half hour of the show on an FYF Friday. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride wherever you may be in the big cities to get ready for. Hopefully, a good weekend, as the weather should hold up for you, although it'll be a little bit sticky, but should be good. I think the rain chances are less than 20%. So
I don't like that.
Oh, you and your lawn.
Yeah.
We'll pass right rain. On over that. So did you see this? This deal's making the rounds. It started on social media. Then it actually ended up being an alert on a lot of people's phones. But this kid goes to a fair last year, where they have the radar gun and the speed gun, and he throws 95 plus on a couple of pitches, and someone from the Oakland A's kind of paid attention but didn't say anything, and they took notice, and lo and behold, the kid shows up again this week and goes through another fan fest, and there's video of it, and he throws three or four pitches, 95 plus again, and before you know it, at the end of the day, he's getting a phone call from the Oakland A's, and then he's posting a picture about the fact that he signed a deal with the Oakland A's because of his arm.
That's wild.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, and some people, like, they show the video, and he's kind of, you know, crow-hopping to throw 95, 96, but who cares? The fact that, because the people are like, does Billy Bean know you can't take two steps before you throw a pitch? Like, well, no one cares. They'll teach him the right way to throw, but how many people do you know that could take two, three, four steps and hit 96?
I was going to say, most people can take a running start and can't get it over 85.
Yeah. What's the fastest you threw?
I threw 90 in my senior year.
Oh, dang.
So I got it up to, you know, my goal was always just to be able to say I threw in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I threw 90.
Like you hit 90. 90. You were like, yeah.
I could hit 90, but that was it.
Consistently?
In that range.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, were you like fastball slider, fastball curveball?
I had some people call it knuckle curve. Some people use it. It's that one where you put one knuckle and one finger on the ball.
Hey, man, and you ain't got to give me the finger.
I forget. A spike curveball is what Blummer calls it.
Yeah.
But I threw curveball slider, the knuckle curve, and a fastball.
Okay.
I hated the changeup because it got hit back at me a whole lot.
What was your so, I mean, obviously fastball is a show pitch. What was your out pitch?
Probably the
knuckle curve?
The slider.
Oh, really?
Yeah, slider where I threw it more, especially at lefties, because I could throw it right at a lefty and it had enough movement from up both kind of diagonally and at the from the batter's box into the corners where I could get a lot of swing and misses.
Okay. Mm. So 90, huh? And there, you know, the big thing was like, whoa, but he wasn't doing it in a pitching motion. But you can learn all that.
Oh, no,
it's just
about
having
the
arm strength.
It's just like the reason why, like, Hashim Thabeet is a lottery pick.
Yeah.
Because you can't teach 7 foot two or four or six or whatever, seven, whatever he is. You can't teach the God-given abilities like a guy that's 7 foot tall or a pitcher that has an arm like that.
You know what's messed up is you can scroll through here and everybody's talking about different things, right? And there is a picture of him signing with the A's, which is awesome. Some guy posted a picture. He goes, damn, I guess my boy Jeff has zero shot, and he threw it 52 miles an hour. That's something Nick would do to us.
What?
That's exactly what you would do. Like, on this thread on Twitter where this guy threw 96 at a fan fest, some dude got on there and took a picture of his boy throwing the ball 52 miles an hour. I was like, I guess my boy Jeff isn't going to be able to get a contract. Well, no, because that's how most people actually throw the ball, you jerk-ass friend.
Yeah, I probably would do something
like that. Yeah, he totally would do something like that.
Here's the thing, too. Remember now, when Trevor Bauer does this crazy off-season workout deal, and it made social media blow up one day, where he's basically doing what this kid is doing, but maybe even taking more of a running start. I think Forrest Whitley did this, too. And you can get it over 105, 110, 120 miles an hour. So, guess what? It just shows you that you got a lot of strength and velocity in your arm. And now it's up to, you know, organization like the A's to try and hone it in, like you said, and develop the skills necessary to hit, you know, throw to the zone and do things.
Maybe the Reds move Trevor Bauer to center field. He's got a cannon. You know, he could, if he could get it over the wall from the mound, if he's, you know, at the wall, he can certainly get it to the plate on one hop.
Did you, speaking of that, because we talked about it a little bit, because Puig's got an arm like that. Did you see last night when they held Brantley at third and there were people that were going, why did they hold Brantley, I go back and look at the replay and how quickly that ball made it from like warning track to the infield.
You don't run on Yasiel Puig.
God, he's got a gun.
Did you see him and him mean mugging Garrett Cole for working inside a little bit?
Cole was looking at him a few times. I was like,
settle down, Yasiel Puig. Go lick a bat, you weirdo.
Yeah, I can't.
Why are you? I mean, why? Come on, man. I mean, the dude was just out there pitching. You know, sometimes pitches are going to get away and go inside a little bit. You don't need to sit there and act like he was. If he was throwing at you, he would have hit you. He's pitching inside.
That's the thing.
That's part of the game.
And you know what? And they were off-speed pitches. So just stop getting your undies in a wad and realize if he really wanted to come at you inside, he'd be throwing 98.
And hitting you in the back and between the shoulder blades.
In the buttocks.
Well.
So do they have stats of you playing baseball?
Oh, Barry's pulled these
before.
I
did this earlier.
Yeah, he's already done all this when we first started.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I told it for, I just Googled it now. I couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
It's still
Joel
all there.
Blank,
matter
Wisconsin
fact,
rugby stats. Nothing
no,
popped up.
Not nice. Wisconsin that's rugby. Not
nice. Yeah, even, and you know what? And the baseball
I think
program,
you got a 5 or a 6 ERA?
It was 5.
5, yeah.
And I said it wasn't good, and you tried to make me feel better. And it was, you know what I said was?
I was like, no, five's not bad.
I had one, you know, I was Rondon. I had that one game where I blew up, and it just killed my overall stats. So it pissed me off. But, you know, I played 4 years, started all 4 years.
Nothing wrong with that.
My college roommate called me the other day, and he's like, because the program's really, really good. And he's like, hey, some kid's going to break your record for, like, innings pitched. And I was like, you know what? The fact that it's still standing to this point.
You have the
top five
pitch?
Or top three. He goes, yeah, some kid's going to pass
you. Could you throw now? Could you throw now?
Could I what?
Could you throw a ball at 90 miles an hour now?
No. No, I mean, you know what? Not 90.
85.
But 80. I think I could get between 80 and 85 if I just had a your arm.
Yeah.
You have to throw like for a week or two to get it kind of build it back up endurance wise to do it. But I threw that first pitch out at the Skeeters and Polino was still, he caught it that night. He came out, he goes, you've done this before, haven't you? And I was like, yeah. And, you know, just standing up here, you kind of miss it because.
Google me, bitch.
No, the biggest thing to me was, you know, you play basketball, you play team sports, you do all these things. Uh-huh. Pitching was so awesome. And you and I were talking about this, Nick, about a week or so ago. You held the whole game in your hand. You controlled everything. Like, one of the things I did with one of the... We had an arch rival with a couple guys on it that we flat out just hated each other. And I wasn't going to hit him first. I was going to throw two pitches right by him to make sure that everybody knew if I wanted to, I could strike him out. And then I was going to throw it right in the middle of his freaking back.
Uh-huh.
Because there were just people we didn't like. But you controlled everything.
Yeah. Y'all were talking about pitching. Nick's a catcher.
Okay.
See?
And then you wonder why Nick would bring up a video and say that you would throw 50-some miles.
By bringing up the Wisconsin rugby stuff anyway.
No, you asked for it by making fun of Forever 21.
That
was for
me. Yeah, you're taking a shot at Barry.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Pick my spots. That's what you get.
Duck and move. Duck and move. Is that what it comes down to? Dude, I still think, you know, because you mentioned the fact that, like, Correa's throw last night, or Reddick's. Mm-hmm. And they say, and Correa's got a gun. Correa, they say, is in the 90s throwing either short to first or like that play last night from shallow outfield trying to get a guy at home. I don't know if this kid could play a position, and we don't know if he could hit.
Right.
But having an arm like that, a lot of times...
That's not a talent that you see.
No.
I mean, obviously, old boy's friend Jeff was hitting 52. That's what you usually see.
Right.
How fast do you think you can throw a baseball, Nicholas?
60 miles an hour, probably. 50?
You think,
probably.
You think he could hit 60 on a gun?
Nick?
Yeah.
Has he been drinking?
If I've been drinking, I'll probably throw it hard.
I think he's loose enough if he's been drinking. I don't know where it's going, but I think he can hit 60.
The default answer is yes, he's been drinking, but are we talking about now or and when he's throwing the baseball?
I think the alcohol would loosen him up, and he could hit 60.
Yeah, we should totally do this.
I don't think I would hit 60. I think if I did, my shoulder would fly out of socket. I never had a good arm.
I mean...
I don't know.
I have terrible aim. That's
what I said. I don't know what Nick's hitting.
What about when you throw a baseball?
Like terrible. I hate you. I hate you so much. Hate you so much.
I love
much.
That you were like, I mean, yeah, what?
Because sometimes when I'm ready to respond, I'm ready to respond. So I don't catch myself quick enough. I hate your face.
Blame it on Father Time, not being a father based on his aim. That's good. He missed where he had to.
That's why you ain't got kids.
That's right.
You've been out here humping sheets for years.
That's not my belly button. Hey, Nick, that's not my belly button. That's my belly button.
You've been out here making love to thighs for a long time.
You kind of
You're still on the pill,
one.
Right? It don't matter. You ain't been in there in a long time.
Oh, my goodness. That's an FYF Friday moment all in itself right there. All right. We're going to continue to roll on. We've got
not
a segment
to, break.
To go.
Yeah, we still got 2 minutes.
Yeah, why are you doing that for?
You've been going to break early every second.
Do you know where I was going and how long I was going to do it before
Do you know
you?
How much time he was going to kill?
Yeah. You got that tone when we're going to break.
Ooh. Or you assumed, and look what it did.
What? It caused us to now be ready to go to break.
No, it made an ass out of you and me.
Oh.
So okay. Well then go ahead, Barry. Keep going because I'm not
because he was going to break.
No, because depending on what I was gonna eventually get to the break, but I was gonna build it up.
Somebody said
that
Correa threw the ball 94 miles an hour on his play at the plate. Threw
Pellet. Didn't I just say that?
That's what the texter said.
Yeah.
But I didn't know you said 94.
No, I said like between I said above
you said
90.
Above 90. He gave you a specific number.
They were saying,
it's all good.
It was 94 was the point.
He's basically
what
agreeing
did Trevor
with
Bauer
you.
Throw it when he had the launch angle
that's
and the distance?
That's the question.
That's what he was doing in the offseason. He does that. There's a place weird. In Seattle and it's all indoors, but he takes like a running start and then lets it fly and they clock it and they go, Trevor Bauer threw a ball 121 miles an hour. Yeah, but he took a like, you know, a 50-yard dash into it.
Yeah, but that's still hard to do.
Sure it is. It's also stupid if you want to blow your arm out and you're a major league pitcher. That's not the kind of offseason you need to be having.
Not wise, guys.
Nick, you want to throw us to break?
Yeah, sure, if you want.
Okay.
Go.
All right. It's ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, lame. God, I'm still swallowing it, though.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour. Final hour. Oh, boy. Final segment of the show. Boy, it's flown by.
Don't drag this out. I got to be somewhere.
Always on your schedule. Is that the way it is again? Okay, fine. Final segment of the show. We take you till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7. Last day that AJ is out, so therefore Moneyline is in. Josh and Jerry are going to be in, and a good day to be in. Head into a weekend where a lot of people are going to be making a lot of wagers. Uh-huh. And Josh is the fantasy football expert. If you guys want to keep that talk going, go right ahead.
Chris, Amazon B's brother said, Chris is over here mad that people are talking fantasy, and my dumbass commissioner said our draft for tonight.
Already?
This is way too soon to be drafting. You can start discussing sleepers and stuff like that now, but damn.
Yeah, you don't even...
I want to at least get through the third preseason game.
Injuries.
See what about injuries and all that. Yeah, whoever your commissioner is... if y'all do a face-to-face draft, punch him and dead off in his stupid face, because that is dumb.
I agree with you.
So are we doing a fantasy football league?
Can we just table that for a while?
Look, let's put a Twitter poll and say...
No, we don't need a
and
poll.
And let them vote.
By the way, when you had your headsets off and you were yapping in there, he was throwing it right on you and put the blame squarely on your shoulders. And said, if we're going to have one, it's on you, and if we're not, it's on you, and you have to figure it out.
But I believe in giving the people what they want. We do a Twitter poll. Who should be the commissioner of the Suspects Fantasy Football League? And we'll put Joel, Barry, Nick, and whoever gets
put
the most
all you
votes.
Want, I ain't doing it.
Yeah. Is the commish?
Do you understand how much I have going on a daily basis
in
my life?
He's a little too important for us, Nick.
You went from trying to encourage me to get a baseball fantasy, participating in a baseball fantasy league,
because it would have broadened your knowledge of baseball.
I don't even want to do a football fantasy league.
I don't want to manage and run the league and be hit up with 1,000 requests and questions and everything
else.
And
again, let's remember, fellas, because there were so many suspects, we had to participate in two or three leagues.
No, I wouldn't do that. It'd be one, and if you got in, great. If you didn't, I'm sorry.
And then you're going to... there's too many people left out.
Oh, yeah. So if I'm going to volunteer, I have to be a commissioner for two different leagues or three different leagues?
Yeah.
No, not going to happen. No way.
There's programs that do most of it.
No.
Yeah. Not at all. I'm just letting you know.
I can't do that. Can't do that.
You can't just reap all the benefits and not put the work in.
I mean, I can be a commissioner. I can volunteer to be a terrible commissioner for one league.
You've already done that. Now kind of set your goals higher.
Three leagues?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think that's too much to ask.
I think that's a lot to ask. Plus, we were doing like 16-person leagues or 18-person leagues.
You're not in because you didn't want to leave anybody out.
You're literally not doing anything else.
He's just making it seem like I have all the time in the world.
All the time.
And he has no time in the world.
No
You're making
time.
Appearances, so you are kind of a busy man.
I mean...
On TV, stand-up comic.
Radio show.
Radio show.
About to start acting classes.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to
been
lose
writing,
weight?
I've been writing a sitcom.
You're auditioning?
Do I have to lose weight, bitch? What?
There's no role that's going to fit for... I mean, you can't... What role is going to be a good role with you fat? How's
chubby,
that going to work?
Chubby Jewish-looking guy.
No.
I'm perfect for that.
What is he going to do? Like, what is he?
Once they write a movie where they're like, you know what we need for this part? We need a dude that sounds black, looks Jewish, but he's chubby.
And wears Forever 21.
And not very handsome. And then they're going to be like, oh, I know just the guy. This guy right here. What?
Okay.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just listening. That's what I'm doing. I'm just listening.
Yeah. So I've got weights. You should do this, though. This is perfect. This is right up your alley.
Nobody really wants to do a fantasy football league with us anyway.
I guarantee you we could get 20, what?
People.
24 would've... suspects to sign up easily. No problem.
Yeah, it would be too easy to get people. It would be I would too love difficult to, say we to could do
get,
all of them.
We could get one of our sponsors to give prizes, but...
Tell you what, if you're out there and you want to sponsor fantasy football but leagues with the suspects, staff, hit us up.
Our sales staff is suspect.
I'm not going there.
Words of Barry Lamb.
Listen, I'm going to shoot my shot, man. Whatever. What are they going to do?
Nothing, really.
What promise you food? Not sell me? What are they going to do? Promise you food and then not deliver?
Not show up? They're going to not sell me? I love our staff. They're the best. I kid. I shoot shots at everybody. I love these guys.
Yes, indeed you
do. Huh?
Yes, indeed you do.
I love these guys. They're and gals. They are amazing people. Except one. One of them's kind of a jerk.
Who?
I'm not going to miss
him. Come on, tell him. Say it.
Huh?
On the sell side?
Yeah.
Or just in...
No, there's no...
I feel like Houston media critic. Say it. Tell us. Who is it? What are you doing? What beef? Come on. Tell us. Say it.
I literally get along with all of them outstandingly. So it was just a joke. There's nobody
not funny.
I know, but there's nobody that I don't get along with over there.
Okay.
Brenda and Judy and Christine.
AMAC.
Jordan.
Christina. I always mess it up for some reason.
So Yahoo comes out with this article, America's Favorite Burger Chain.
Uh-huh.
Some big numbers. One that I told you guys in the past, I don't think you're going to get. And the biggest of the chains, the lowest of the numbers. McDonald's at the very bottom at 28%, followed by Burger King at 33%, Jack in the Box at 37%, Red Robin at 48%. Sonic at 40%.
Let me guess who the highest percentage is.
Go.
Subway.
No. It's burgers.
Oh, is this only
just burgers?
It's not fast food?
Wendy's 36%. So if you're going 60 and above, or let's go 58% and above, and you're not going to be happy.
So now, what is the percentage again?
So it's America's Favorite Burger Chains. All right. Okay. And in order to make the chain... you had to get at least 100 consumer responses and represent at least 2% or more of the responses that were being analyzed. So a bottom line is, in case you wanted to know, In-N-Out didn't make the list.
Okay.
All right.
Whataburger.
Whataburger is at 58%.
So I'm having to guess. What do you want me to guess?
The top two. And one of them, see, again.
You mentioned McDonald's and Burger King. Whataburger.
Oh, I take that back. I misspoke.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, what is it?
Whataburger was at 58%. Number one, In-N-Out at 73%.
Mm. See? Well, that's because Cali. They're out there in California. And
yeah,
there's
but
a lot of
it
people.
Depends. That's the bigger thing. Is like, where are you surveying these people from?
Right.
So one was In-N-Out at 73%. Five Guys was 68%.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Culver's.
It's a good burger, though.
It is. It's a legit burger.
I've never had it. I've heard you guys talk about it. And then Culver's, which I've told you
loves
in the past.
Five Guys.
Okay. Culver's at 67%. Culver's is more kind of an up north Midwest thing. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Culver's.
Ron Culver is the one who told me about Culver's. I don't know.
Is he the owner?
No, he's a producer here, executive producer.
But he's from the West Coast. Culver's they had him there too.
Culver's, I don't know. He knew
Culver's
about it.
Has concrete mixers that are legit. If you like ice cream, soft serve ice cream, with like you know candy in it or whatever, get their concrete mixers. They're good.
Okay, I didn't know they were
and like they have like
a concrete mixer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But they're kind of like Freddy's in that Culver's is like a steak burger. Or they call it a butter burger.
I think that's right. Butter burger. Like yeah. Culver's are big back
it's
home. My mom, as she got older, that was her treat. She'd have my niece go get her Culver's.
I like Freddy's. That's the legit good burger.
Yeah.
So
Steak and Shake was at 46%, Dairy Queen 41%, and then the top three, In-N-Out at 73, Five Guys at 68, Culver's at 67.
Interesting.
And then Whataburger at 58, Smashburger at 54.
Oh, y'all know I love me some Smashburger.
Yeah.
And listen, guys, we have 2 minutes left in the show. Please don't send your burger texts.
Yeah.
We're not even going to have time to read them.
No, that's why we do.
Yeah, Smash I do like. By the way, AR Platinum said he's in for $100 for the fantasy winner. Well, AR Platinum, there's going to be three leagues. So everybody gets $33.33. Yeah, Nick's going to commission all three leagues.
I'm not going to commission three leagues. I'm not going to do that.
He already said he would.
I would not. I did not say that. I did not make that commitment.
And Mark Schell said he's in.
Mark Schell's also coming to the listener appreciation party.
Oh, yeah?
We got him on the list.
Well done.
Because he's a suspect.
Probably should have said that. All right. With that being said, we love you guys, the suspects, and we are appreciating you for another strong week of the show. We're going to head into the weekend, and so are you, hopefully, on a good note. And that means if you're still driving around town, stay tuned because the Blitz is next. Fred, along with the Moneyline guys, they're going to take you all the way up until 7 o'clock, and then we'll make sure everybody has a great weekend. But for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. You guys have yourself a wonderful night and a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday right here on ESPN 97.5.
I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.